Faith and Fandom podcast. Doing this live from the drive while I'm talking and driving.
Oh,
so I've been on the road for, gosh, I don't even know how long I've been on the road at this point. A couple days. But I just turned 40. And I'm such an extrovert when it comes to doing things on an oratory level or performance level or something like that. But when I'm super cool with attention directed towards what I'm presenting, I'm not always the best when it's attention directed towards me and my worth or what people feel towards me and stuff like that. That's a harder subject. With that, I struggle with birthdays. They're not my favorite. I find them often to be depressing. And yeah, I just generally struggle with birthdays. Either the people I want to spend them with, I won't be able to spend them with, or the things that I get make me feel like people don't actually know me well, or, yeah, it's just, I don't like them. I think I was, like, legitimately 30 before I had a solid birthday party, and, you know, my birthday last year wasn't bad. Turning 40 is a thing, so, I decided this year I was going to take a solo road trip and just go do some stuff by myself. Most of the road trips I take are usually based on cons or camps or things like that. And always have a function and a purpose, and it's hard to plan for, like, off-the-wall road trips when you're in those kind of, like, time constraints. Like, for instance, I'm going to be speaking at 4 camps this summer, or I'm speaking 4 weeks of camps this summer, and I'm not going to be able to go a lot of places even with that. Like, I'll be in Orlando, but I'm not going to be able to go to Disney, just for timing. So for my 40th, I wanted to go on a trip that legitimately was just one I wanted to go on. And I've always been a fan of Kevin Smith's work. While I know it's not the purest form of art, I grew up with it in high school and had a lot of good bonding experiences with friends over it, and I respect him as a creator. His comic book work is exemplary. In fact, in the Detective Comics 100th issue, there was a section that Kevin Smith did about getting the gun that killed his parents, and freaking just touched my life. But it's literally been, for the bulk of my adult life, anytime somebody mentions New Jersey or going somewhere near New Jersey, I think, you know what, I absolutely want to go to New Jersey. But I just want to go to where Kevin Smith's comic book shop is, Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. I always wanted to go there. But literally, as I've learned, there is nowhere like that is specifically on the way up. Like, you got to be directly going that route. You're not going to accidentally be real close to that. I guess Philadelphia might be a little close, but it's not for real close. So I decided I was going to take a couple days off of social media, be silent, and I was going to drive up to New Jersey and visit Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash, get something autographed from Kevin Smith, go over to the Quick Stop from where the movies were filmed, and also Kevin's podcasting studio is now right beside the Quick Stop. And I was just going to do that. Eat good food, take pictures, chill out, do those things. And so I did. And I got to say, not doing social media or posting anything for 2 days was really nice. If you're listening to this, you probably know that I post a lot of things. And a lot of times the stuff that I post is schedule-based and moderately stressful of getting everything out, because I have to post from a lot of different hats, and I post for my church now, design all the graphics and stuff and do that for my church. I post for my DJ business, I post for Faith and Fandom, I post for my personal things. Sometimes I post for my wife's catering stuff, or, you know, it's just a lot of hats, and there's this pressure of performance with that. So it was nice not to do that. And while I did miss talking to some people, it was just hard. Like, I only responded to things that were moderate emergencies. And, you know, it wasn't even, I hadn't even made it 50 miles down the interstate before one of the mothers of someone in my congregation passed away. And so, you know, that's like, I don't have to stop existing, but it's nice to actually just get off the grid for a minute. And so I was planning to drive to New Jersey, and which is an 8-hour drive. And my game plan was to drive there one morning, see the places, sleep, drive back the next day, and my wife told me to spend 3 days doing it. So I left Monday morning, took the time to drive up there, and, you know, made a couple stops along the way, explored a little bit, got coffee, did the things, and made it to my hotel room that night. And one of the things that made the journey really, really fun is I knew that I didn't want to be on, I didn't want to, like, be checking Facebook every minute I got, or, and I also didn't want to shuffle through a bunch of music, because I like music a lot. I love music. Music's a passion of mine. But sometimes as a DJ, music can be really stressful when I've got events and things coming up. So, like, I'm going on 3 days without actually listening to music except for one song specifically for road trip purposes. Because when I get back, I've got a wedding. Oh, I've got a wedding and a prom to DJ within 2 days. So I took the time off for music too, because otherwise something would come across my playlist and I'd be like, oh, I need to add that to the wedding, or, oh man, I don't have this wedding song prepared. And so really didn't want that. So I didn't do it. But, yeah, did that. So rather than me listening to music, I bought the MP3 CD, which is, you have to have a CD player that'll play MP3s. I bought an MP3 of the audio, I guess it's an audio book, but it's the Audible original production of Neil Gaiman's Sandman, and I believe it collects the first, like, 4 volumes or something like that. It collects a lot. But it was 15 hours. No, sorry. It was 10 hours of story. And it's my first time really giving Sandman attention. I knew more about Death as a character than I did about Morpheus. And I honestly didn't know a lot of the Sandman stories at all. Personally, the artwork always kind of threw me for a loop, and I didn't put a lot of time into trying to dial back, because I knew that was a previous generation of storytelling, and also it's just expensive and long and hard to try to actually get a hold of all of the Sandman material to check out. So I didn't ever actually delve into the books. I've seen Death and some crossovers and stuff, plus she's cute, and so I always wanted to check out his Sandman work, but I just never did. This audio production is fantastic. You have James McAvoy as Morpheus Dream, the Sandman. And that's the thing. You deal with James McAvoy, you're dealing with somebody who has a wide range of emotion and portrayal. I mean, dude's a legendary actor. If you deal with stuff like Split, you know, Glass, and, you know, you look at his work from his Dark Materials to X-Men to Penelope to all the stuff that this dude's done. He's done a lot. Nobody, I think, doubts his acting range. But just to hear him do this work with his voice literally made me clap a few times. It was straight up wonderful. So listening to this, not only did you have James McAvoy as Morpheus, you had Kat Dennings as Death, in which I am very much a fan of Kat Dennings. You had Arthur Darville, Rory from Doctor Who, playing William Shakespeare. You had Andy Serkis, you know, Gollum, as a character. I'm not going to say the names because you won't know who it is if you don't listen to it. Well, never mind. If you have read the books or anything, it's Matthew the Raven. But, like, there's a ton of big actors in this thing. Like, Michael Sheen plays Lucifer. I mean, like, it's all over the place. But I spread that out to about 5 hours per day of travel, just so I didn't burn through it all at once. But on the note just beyond, like that, it was gangster to the point where I had to turn it off a couple times. There's a few scenes in this thing, because also, while I know that some of the stuff that I've seen has always just looked like mystical and dark and emo-y and very Tim Burton, there's some horribly gory things. There's a scene that is basically 24 hours of carnage inside of a Waffle House. If you've read the books or anything, you know what I'm talking about. But there's a scene, like, where it's, you know, hearing these murders and this carnage and stuff take place inside this Waffle House, it made my stomach turn. I had to, like, literally turn the audio off because I couldn't take what I was hearing. And then one of the other endless that is part of Death's, or part of Dream's family, is named Despair. And Despair is doing some junk that the audio of it, like, made me cringe so bad that I couldn't listen. And I was so overwhelmed by the audio of what Despair was doing that I had to stop listening for that. I went back to it, and, you know, finished it, obviously, but it was rough, like super duper rough. But I spent 2 days, or, you know, 2 days of travel with about 5 hours of Sandman in my ears. And I'll say this in terms of how that worked out. Wow. What a dope story. There's some serious lines in there that were maybe really ponder, really gave me pause. I've got some quotes screenshotted from the comic. Because I didn't want to post them on Facebook. Because I didn't want to get on Facebook. But there's some comic panels that I plan to post later, including like the video or the picture, I think, for this recording will be that. Yeah, it's that thing of the story was so powerful and so good. And the acting was so freaking top notch across the show that I paid $19.99 for the MP3 audio disc, got 10 hours of entertainment, and just some masterful acting, and probably the best introduction into the Sandman world that I could ever imagine. And, yeah, I was just greatly, greatly impressed. One of the other aspects to it as well is that Neil Gaiman is the narrator of the story. So not only are you getting fantastic acting, you're getting to hear Neil Gaiman say the words that he wrote out loud. And that doesn't happen a lot, to be able to hear an author actually read their words out loud with that. The fact that Neil Gaiman wrote these words like decades ago, and it took until like 2020 or 2021 for him to be able to have a full audio or even video production of it, because I hear there's a live action show as well coming. But like to hear Neil Gaiman read his words and give these directions and stuff was so good. So if you've not checked out the Audible original of Neil Gaiman's Sandman, it's 100% worth it. Even if you have no knowledge of who Death or Dream or any of the Endless are, there will be some recognizable Justice League names. Batman gets mentioned quite a bit. Scarecrow is in it. Let's see, who else? Mr. Miracle is in it. John Johns, the Martian Manhunter, is in it. Constantine is in it. You're going to hear some names that you recognize. But even beyond that, the cast of characters is just so good, and it's so done well. And honestly, just being able to sit back and listen to a great audiobook in a short window was a birthday present in itself. And so I was really grateful for that. Beyond that, I'm just really pleased with it, and I'm looking forward to checking out some more Sandman beyond listening to this. But I went to Red Bank, New Jersey, and my first stop once I got there was Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, which just moved locations 2 months ago, exactly. And, like, they were a football throw down from where they were, so... Like, wherever they, like, they were maybe 4 doors down from where they originally started. And, it was so cool to actually be able to go up and see the shop and see the things. And one of the things they've done, you know, with the success of Comic Book Men and Kevin's career and everything else, is they've turned the Secret Stash to not only just being a comic book shop, but it's like a Kevin Smith Museum for all of his films. So, like, the signs from the old shops are, like, literally sitting in the glass out front. They have a model of Tusk, which, if you've not seen Tusk, it's the horror movie where a guy gets mutilated until he's turned into a walrus. Don't bother watching it based on my recommendation, because I'm not recommending you watch it. I'm just telling you it exists. And it has a Johnny Depp performance that you literally could watch the entire thing and not know that Johnny Depp is in the movie. Because he's in disguise when he's in the movie. But they've got, like, the Tusk. They've got, I forgot what he was called, but, like, the Kevin Smith Iron Man armor from the Jay and Silent Bob reboot is the, like, the functional set of armor is in there. Like, Silent Bob's actual trench coat is in a glass display. The leather Batman hat from Mallrats is in there. The idiosyncratic life denim jacket from Mallrats is there. I mean, like, a lot of actual classic movie stuff is sitting in the store. Beyond that, they actually have literally everything you could want signed by Jay or Kevin in the store. Funko Pops, posters, books, pictures. If you just want to roll up in there and get signatures from Kevin Smith, you can do it. They actually had frame cells, like actual film cells, of Chasing Amy and Dogma that were $10 each. And the fact that you could literally walk off the street and pick up a film cell from a classic movie for $10 was pretty great. But one of the cool things is, too, they had posters from every one of his movies signed and rolled. So if whatever your favorite Kevin Smith movie is, you could walk in and pick up a poster that was signed by Kevin and just walk out. And so, like, you basically got a Comic-Con experience of just getting signatures without actually having to deal with the whole hassle of that. They had the full-size Buddy Christ statue was there. Even had, like, a little pew and an altar in there. They had a remake of the Quick Shop that was in there. The Quick Stop. They just had so much stuff. I'll post some pictures whenever I actually get around to it, because I'm still not going to do social media today other than a birthday post when I'm finally home tonight. So that was a thing. But I had a blast, and then one of the guys from Comic Book Man was working, and we talked and we had a good time, and so I don't know New Jersey like that. I don't know their cultural vibe or anything, but I have a Buddy Christ piggy bank, which is basically almost like a statue. It's a little over a foot tall, so maybe 18 inches, but it's a replica of the Buddy Christ from Dogma. And he just looks cool. He's as tall as my biggest Optimus Prime figure, and he sits on my shelf smiling and pointing and giving a thumbs up. So I wanted to take my Buddy Christ statue in and get it autographed by literally whoever was working, if they were from the show. And I did. But I didn't just want to walk down the streets of Red Bank by myself carrying a Buddy Christ statue, because either A, you're not going to know Dogma or Kevin Smith stuff and you think I'm just going to have a weird Jesus statue, or B, you're going to know Jesus and think I'm carrying something offensive. And I wasn't trying to have those type of conversations on my walk alone in New Jersey. So I put my big old Buddy Christ statue in my jeans pocket, which surprisingly, I have some deep jeans pockets. Like, I stuck it in my pants pocket and then pulled my shirt over it, and I guess I'm fluffy enough that my clothes can efficiently hide a large statue of Jesus. And so I was checking out, and I pulled my Buddy Christ statue out of my pants and was like, "Hey, would you mind signing this?" He's like, "Where did that come from?" And, like, it literally turned into about 5 minutes of all the silliest jokes you could imagine about having a pocket Jesus. And, but it was good. He signed it, and, I got some stuff for some friends, and, then my next stop in the tour of places was to actually go to the Quick Stop. And, so that's about 15 minutes away. It's only like 7 miles, but it takes a while. Leonard Avenue in Leonardo, New Jersey, whatever that is. I went and, like, literally rounded the corner, and seriously, it's just so cool to see the Quick Stop. I've seen so many movies for so long, just sitting right there. And the kicker is it's an actual functioning Quick Stop. Like, it's not Kevin's Quick Stop. It's not just a set piece. It's a functioning Quick Stop owned by a family. And, like, I pulled up and was going to take my photo. I was going to set the camera on a timer and do all those things. And I pulled my trench coat out of the car, and the owner of the Quick Stop looked at me, like, with some serious stank eye, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go inside here and buy some stuff before I take a photo, just so this dude doesn't call the cops on me. So I went inside, bought a drink, and then sat my camera on the timer. One of them actually had a dude that was walking by take one. But I sat my camera on a timer and took some photos of me in a trench coat with a backwards hat in front of the Quick Stop, and it made my day. So one of the other things is, like, you always see this Quick Stop, and you never really think about what's on the other side of it. There's an entire housing and apartment complex right on the opposite side of it. So all those times Jay and Silent Bob are standing out there, they're facing an apartment complex, like a 3-story apartment complex. The other thing that I think is almost an odd choice is that Kevin doesn't run the Quick Stop, but he bought the other end of it and turned it into his podcasting studio. So, like, his podcasting studio is literally right beside the Quick Stop. It's called the Smod Castle. They do comedy and podcasts and stuff like that. And so I literally took 2 days off, 3 days off to drive from North Carolina to Red Bank, New Jersey to go to a comic book shop and take a couple pictures outside of a gas station for a Quick Stop. And that's how I chose to spend my 40th birthday. But the reality was, it was just nice to get a break. And one of the biggest things that I wanted was to be able to have some quiet, but also not be responsible for everybody else. And I was working on devotionals and stuff for the newspaper that I write for, and some different things. And one of the things, and also on the Faith and Fandom 180 for LTN Radio last week, just one of the things I had is that when Jesus was overwhelmed, his response was actually to get in a boat and row away, to get some time by himself to pray. And it's not a bad practice to have some isolation every now and again, to stop talking, to stop performing, to stop broadcasting. Like, when I got in the car this morning to start driving home, I had a really honest prayer time of where I just got quiet before God and said some stuff, and I've had some time to think about where my heart's at and what's going on, and it's good to get some time away, y'all. It just really is. But yeah, that was it, and I'm currently driving home to get back into the world. Do that, but so today I'm officially 40. I don't know that I'm encouraged, discouraged, or what with that information. I don't know how I feel about it or anything like that. It is a reality, though. You know, the dude at Jay and Silent Bob Secret Stash said I didn't look 40. He said it was probably the hair. But yeah, I'm getting older, and I don't have a lot of direct super goals or anything like that that I'm crazy waiting on, or even anything I'm really hoping for other than to be better at who I am and what I'm doing. Yeah, it's a good time. So I will post some photos and stuff, and I plan to hit the ground running really hard tomorrow with everything else. But I wanted to take the time to not have to be responsible or be worried about everything else. And it also took me, like, quadrupling my workload on Sunday to get all my work done for Sunday through Wednesday before I left on Monday. And this is my first time using Podbean Live, and I'm doing it in the car, and who knows if this will even sound like less than trash. So I might be doing all of this over. But I just finished my audiobook, and like I said, I wasn't really rushing to start listening to music, although there is some new stuff from Judah on his worship album. Propaganda has a new album I might want to listen to as well again. But that's where I'm at. Just turned 40. I have a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, about to be 8-year-old, and my wife is still going through cancer treatments, and with a double mastectomy, and has 2 rounds of chemo in, and I don't know how many to go. So that's where we're at. But if you're listening to this, thanks for listening. I do greatly appreciate it. And I appreciate any of you that actually care and appreciate to just partake in what we do with Fake Fandom or just who I am in general. Thanks to our Patreon supporters. I'm not going to name them all out here because they're going to get some more shout-outs later in the month. But I will say, I just added a couple new tiers on Patreon. One is where you get random stickers that I make each month. And one is that I'll design a sticker of your choosing and send you some. So that should be fun. But thank you to everybody that supports and encourages. And I am grateful for you. And thanks again for putting some time to this. And if you eat some cake today, say happy birthday to the wind or whatever, or something Michael Scott would say. Thanks.